This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon, and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. And with me on the board today is my friend Ed. How you doing, Ed?
Not bad on a St. Patty's Day Friday.
Yeah, same. I got my little green on. We don't have lights and everything because Lynn's not here, unfortunately. Oh, you have some?
I was ready for her.
Oh, my goodness. I have to take a picture of you with those on. Well, maybe she's watching us. Because when Lynn comes on the show for every holiday, she's got all these things for me to wear and stuff to do and everything. But unfortunately, she's not out gallivanting today. She's still having some dental issues. So we miss you, Lynn. We love you. It's not the same, though, without her here.
Well, I'll make sure I'll bring them next week, too, just so she can see them.
Oh, that would be good. That would be really good. And with me today, I have my friend Jesse Brown. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you.
You've been on the show before.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about all the good things you're doing and how it's progressing because it so excites me. I'm telling you, every support group, every opportunity I get to tell people what you're doing, I tell you. Take the microphone a little closer. Good. So the first thing I want to do is I want to give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Janet in New Jersey. We have Deirdre in Tampa, and we have Genevieve in St. Pete. And like I always say, there's plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners, whether you listen on the show, when we're live, or on YouTube, or Facebook, or my website, or whatever. I just want to bring you information that can help you on your journey, because caregiving is not easy. And I will tell you every single day, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But right now, I have to let you guys know that I am now a great-grandmother.
Yay!
So my granddaughter, Skylar, and her husband, Devin, Skylar gave birth last night at 5:38 p.m. to Landon Thomas. 20 inches, 8 pounds, 3 ounces. Fabulous. I'm telling you, my heart just sings. It's so exciting that I even have the opportunity to be a great grandma.
Yeah.
You know, because and for a lot of people my age, they didn't have a great grandma. Or if they did, she was just like in the bed dying kind of thing. So that I get to be a great grandma and still be able to like do stuff with him just like excites me. I've been writing a journal to him since she found out she was pregnant.
Aww.
So in the beginning, we didn't know it was a boy. So I was just writing Dear Baby.
Oh.
Then it became Dear Landon. And then I have like pictures in the book like of the sonogram.
Aww.
And of his mom at her baby shower. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's really kind of cool. So, and I'm hoping that they want to come back to Florida. Devin's in the military. So they have to make some decisions. But she's like, I'm a Florida girl. I was in Germany 2 years freezing. I'm in Colorado Springs. And she said to her husband, well, I want my son to be brought up with my brothers and my mom. And you know, Devin, my grandma's getting really old now. So I'm renting a wheelchair for when they come. Whatever I gotta do to get that baby here.
That's awesome.
Well, yes, it's very awesome. So it's very exciting. I have to say, too, when I said before about knowledge being power, I went to a seminar at Arden Courts yesterday or the day before with Dr. Kate McCarty, who is so fabulous. She's just the bomb. And I love it when I go see a presentation and the person is educating and you see the people in the audience, the light bulbs go off. Or you see them say to the person next to them, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that. Or, oh my goodness, maybe that's something that'll work for me in my caregiving journey. And it's so important, and that's why I love that you guys tune in all the time, because the more you can learn, I promise you, the better your caregiving journey is, no matter what it is. So, you know, I honor you for being here today, because I know it's not the simplest thing. Let's just be hanging out listening to the radio show. But it's all truly good.
And I appreciate what you do.
Thank
because you.
You
don't know what you don't know.
You don't know.
Until you hear it and are exposed to it. So thank you.
I can remember a couple of years ago, a woman came into a support group. It was a live support group. And thank God, live is back. Live and virtual support groups are here now. And she came into the group and she said, "My doctor said I need a support group." And that little giggle was from Sean Scott.
Ooh, hello, Linda.
Hi. And I said, welcome. And everybody in the group, of course, is very welcoming and everything. And she goes, with her arms crossed, "What do you do here?" So I go, "We share resources. We have a shoulder. You know, you get to know other people. And tips, different tips." And she goes, "Give me a tip." I go, "Okay." I go, "Okay." I said, "I don't know if this tip's appropriate for you, but my tip is, if your husband has to go to the doctor on Friday, don't tell him on Monday. Because he's going to ask you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all day long, when are we going to the doctor?" She goes, "Oh my goodness. My husband was up at 3:30 a.m. with his bed made, all dressed, or waiting to go to the doctor's." And she slapped the table and she said, "I think I'm going to like this group." So that's a really good thing. So Jesse.
Yes.
Let's talk about what you do. I love what you do. I mean, you were part of the last conference. You've been on the show a couple of times, and I want to continue to bring your information to my listeners because I think it's just so valid. So for the people that don't know about you, give us a little background.
Yep. So I've been a caregiver for my dad for about 7 years, 8 years now. He lives at an Arden Courts, and I just realized how much better his life is when he's connected to people around him, the care partners. Everybody is just in a better spot when they know about you.
Right.
And right now my dad is down the journey where he can't communicate anymore. He can't tell you cool things or fun things or what he likes and doesn't like. So, well,
I just want to say one thing. I think many times when your loved one moves into a community, you fill out pages of information. And dad likes this, dad likes that. And everybody reads it and everybody studies it and everything. But we know how staffing changes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if always the opportunity is for them to read through those papers again and see who dad is.
Yep.
And years ago I had this idea about, wow, wouldn't it be cool if you could put an iPad on the wall? And when you came in, you would push the button and it would say, "Dad loves dogs. Dad has three children," or whatever, because I think people would converse if they knew what to converse about.
Yep, exactly.
And then I met you. Because when I talked about that, anytime I suggested that, like, HIPAA, this, that, and everything, and then I met you, so let's go.
Yeah, so then, you know, I quickly learned about those. They get filed away into a binder somewhere, and so I wanted to put it in my own hands and say, you know what, you're going to learn about my dad and I'm going to put it in front of you so you can connect with him and understand
him a little
better.
Because even if your loved one is in a community, you are still the caregiver.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The best piece of advice from our aging care agent that I ever got was, "Jesse, no one's going to take care of your dad like you do, so just understand that." And I totally do. They have more than just one person.
Right.
But if you're armed with knowledge about that person, and I'm not talking about a novel, which is lovely and great. I'm talking about quick little facts about someone that you can go in and you can connect, whether it's where they lived, what they did for a living, how many kids they have. Those kinds of things, because, you know, so many residents in their IC are lonely, and they're lonely in a full crowded room, and especially it's amplified when you have dementia or Alzheimer's. But as a caregiver, as a loved one coming in, I want to be able to talk to them. And so I
like you would in any other scenario,
just life, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, just having a simple conversation.
Yes.
So I, you know, came up with this Catalyst for Connections, and it just kind of took off. And we're done with our pilot now. I know it was on a couple months ago. We're done with our pilot, and I pulled the data. We created 56 videos.
So explain to them what you've done.
Okay. So what I did was I created a QR code, a quick little video. And I know I'm a school teacher, so I know attention spans aren't long anymore.
Why do Tuesday tips?
That's right. So it's about, you know, between 2 and 3 minutes. If we can get it lower than that, that's great, less than that. But so a QR code is connected to that video. And on the outside of, you know, doors, I have a little announcement. Oh, yep, go for it. Announcements. And so in the break room, this goes outside their door. So it's five quick little facts so that you can, you know, learn about them. And I have connection cards that can go with them. So when they go into an ambulance to go to the hospital,
right.
this goes with their medical information. And they can then look on the back and say, oh, okay, he has seven kids. He's from Maryland. Let me talk to him and ease his anxieties while he's in the road. You know, and here's the thing. If they don't look at it, they don't look at it. But I feel better that they have it.
Right.
It's here. It's there. And then...
And I think it'll be as we're all aging. A lot of people are aging.
Yeah.
As things go on, this will be a common thing.
Yes. And let me tell you, in the stint that my dad had at rehab in the hospital, these were amazing because it's scary. It's scary for him. It's scary for me as the loved one. So when I would post those up and they would come in, they say, thank you. Thank you for having these. So when I come in and give him medicine, I know just a little bit to talk to him. Absolutely. And not everyone can be there like I am. They don't live in the same town.
And no one knows your dad like you do.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, your dad is nonverbal now. So your dad was a professional football player.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So we know dad loves to watch sports on
TV. Exactly.
But he doesn't want to watch anything on, you know, nothing else interests him. And do I want him just sitting there in front of the TV with stuff that doesn't interest him?
Right.
Well, this sets... It sets him up for success and the person that's caring for him.
Exactly. And then I know that if they take the time to watch the video, if they just look and they have to grab something, he's more included. And I'm all about inclusion, and I come from a special ed background. So I see it. I see people that need more help being included. Yeah.
But you did know that because you went one step further. You went one step further, and you started interviewing the carriers that were taking care of your dad.
Exactly. So I see how amazing it is, because these people are in here 24/7 taking care of someone else's loved one. And what we lose sight of, and I'm guilty of it, is they have their own lives. They have their own kids. They have their own stresses.
Yeah.
So to be able to go in there and connect with them and ask how their day is and see who they are.
How many kids do you have? And do you like hot dogs with mustard and relish?
And what does that do that creates more of a connection? That creates a connection that leads to greater empathy for my dad.
Right, and makes them feel like they're cared about too.
Exactly. And so I started making videos on them. And and so, you know, what we do at Art and Quartz is I have a little QR code. It's like an ebook. So it has all of the caregivers that have filled it out. Their videos are on here as well as the residents.
Okay,
so all in one spot, you have 21 residents' videos, and you have, I think we have about 8 caregiver videos. So that can be sent to the loved ones that are remote. And I piloted it in Seniors Helping Seniors. Andy was amazing.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He's so wonderful. And he sees the value in it. Because I had to hire aides, and I wanted to know who was going to be with my dad.
Well, how many long-distance caregivers do we have today?
Exactly.
Especially in Florida.
Yep. So he sends out the video of, hey, here's who's going to take care of your loved one today, or, hey, here's who I think would be a great fit. And so it just brings us all together, in which connection runs the world. And it is great.
It's just so important.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that you can take that QR card with you anywhere.
Yep.
You know, and just a simple thing that when people know more about the person, they'll talk to the person more.
Yep.
Because I wouldn't want a job where I was working with people all day long and I didn't talk to them and nobody talked to me. That's no fun. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
But if you can see a person that you're caring for and you can make some connection with them and you can see that smile on their face,
or
you can find out that one thing that they like,
it makes your job easier and you feel more satisfied leaving it.
Yeah.
And so I can successfully and proudly say that we had over 2,100 videos watched during the pilot. That's 77 hours of videos viewed. And after every little quiz I would give the caregivers, I would ask it, the last question is, do you feel like you know the resident a little more? And 116 out of 117 caregivers said, yes, we feel like we know the resident more after watching their videos. And 100% of the families that participated filling out their loved one's information, 100% have said, we recommend Catalyst for Connections.
Well, would it be the bomb if your kid went into kindergarten and they had their own QR code?
Think
about it.
Yeah.
And the teacher just watches a 2 or 3 minute video about this kid and knows that this kid's parents don't live together, you know, that this kid has dogs.
Yep.
That this...
You know, light years ahead of with your interactions with that person, whether it's your child or the person you're providing care for.
Yep.
Yeah.
Really amazing. I just went to scan the QR code with my phone while you were sitting
Thank
there chatting.
Yeah.
Because I've heard about you in this thing. Linda's talked about it. She loves your stuff.
Thank you.
And but I never actually scanned it. So I just scanned it while you guys were talking and pulled up Tom's little bio on my phone.
Yeah.
And I already know more about Tom than I know about most of my clients.
Thank you.
It's really amazing.
Yes,
really
you.
Cool. Really
Isn't
cool.
It?
Yep, yep.
Thank
super
you. You know,
awesome.
And I like the part, the one part on the video, you asked him, like, because he was still had some communication at the time where he likes to eat.
Yeah.
And it's like, seafood, no, or yes, or whatever. And then at the end, you say, if my dad is really agitated, if all else fails, just give him a hot dog with mustard and relish. How simple is that?
Right.
Yeah. To know that.
Yes. And, you know, and thinking down the road, I would love to get this into the hospital so that they're all connected. So my dad goes a stint into the hospital.
Yeah.
That little TV that's running there, boom, it just goes right up there. I mean, there's just so much that can happen and help all these people suffering from, you know, diseases like Alzheimer's.
Or anything. So somebody that's listening now and says, oh, I would like to have a QR code for my loved one. How do they go about that?
So my website is Technology Natives, and we have a little Catalyst for Connections spot on there. They can go on there. They can inquire about it. Email me. I can fill it in. And we're in production. We are about a month and a half away from having it roll out with a real platform and everything.
Because it would be cool if, you know, you create a QR code for somebody and then they can buy 100 business cards with it on, like make a package for them.
Yeah.
So what do you think it's going to cost somebody to create one for themselves?
So right now it goes by, you know, if you have a video, it's $4.99 a month.
Okay.
And we'll house that. You have materials. You can unlimitedly print out the materials. But to house that video securely, we want it. It's $4.99 a month. So if you think it's less than $60 a year, that you can have those on demand and send it out to anyone. And because your life is so unexpected, you just never know.
No.
We have so many people that move from Arden Courts to another facility or to a skilled nursing, and this goes with them. And already before they step foot, it's in there and they know them.
You know, and what happens if tomorrow I'm in a car accident and I have a brain injury and I can't communicate
it's
anymore?
It's true. We see it all the time in the special ed world.
Yeah.
It's sad. But, this is one step closer to keeping their dignity.
I love all of it. And just finding information, because the caregivers that are taking care of our loved ones are taking care of our most precious commodity.
Yeah.
It's not like we're shuffling papers here. We're taking care of people.
Right.
And the people that take care of them are so important also.
Yes.
And that's why I love that you're acknowledging that.
Yep.
Because their work is tireless. It's like the people that work in hospice. You know, there are so many fabulous people in the senior community that really want to do the right thing. And as we learn more about technology and things are simple, you know, even like when the pandemic started, I was like, oh, damn, what am I going to do? My caregivers come to my life support group. Mm-hmm. I need to see them. I need to touch them. Well, I had no choice.
Yep.
But now there's people in my Zoom support groups from all over the United States and Canada.
Yep.
That never had a support group near them, that don't have to drive somewhere, that don't have to find someone to take care of their loved one. But now we have the live ones back too. So it's all, you know.
We're further ahead in some ways.
Yeah.
So not only are we doing the live face-to-face, but now we've been able to expand and reach beyond that with the Zoom thing. That's a good way of looking at it.
We've
through that struggle of COVID and all not being able to be with each other, we have transcended into a new place. That's a good way of looking at it.
Well, you know, we have a family Zoom every Sunday morning. Whoever can come can come. And I looked the other day, and this was our 156th. We didn't talk that much before.
156?
Yeah, like once a week, let's say.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow.
Yeah, but
that's a lot.
Because,
Because
I'm not going to talk to one sister for a half hour, talk to my other sister for the half hour, talk to my stepmother, whatever. we all get on, everybody tells us about our ailments.
Oh, my back.
But, you know, there's gifts of Zoom, and what I like about Zoom, too, especially if you're like on a family or personal thing, don't tell me you're fine. I can see you. I was really sick last week. They're like, Linda, go to bed. Shut off the phone. Go to bed. I'm telling you, I never get sick. I was down for like 8 days. I mean, down. And you don't appreciate what you have or what you know. I really get sick, but when you do it, I'm thinking, oh, I hope I never get really sick with something because I'm not a good patient.
Yeah.
You know, it's
self awareness. You know, you're not a good patient. That's
well,
good.
I think every time now and then too, God just gives me a little knock side of the head and says, just a reminder, Linda, just a little reminder, and I try to listen. All right. So once again, where can our listeners find you?
Technologynatives.com, and then. Reach out to me.
Fabulous.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And speaking of Sean Scott, he's sitting right next to me.
Hello, yes.
And so you just got back from Italy. What were you doing there?
I did. I became a grandfather, my first one, which is, yes, so congratulations.
Mia Sophia.
Mia Sophia, yes. And so Mia's the first name, Sophia's the middle name, and I just merge them together, and I just call her Mia Sophia.
Yeah, that's a beautiful name.
It's Mia Sophia.
And she's so beautiful,
and
right?
And she's a beautiful kid, just absolutely fabulous. And the first one, my daughter, you know, it's her first child, too, and it's a learning experience when you have a newborn in your house. Yeah. You think it's going to be all real easy. It's going to be fine. We're going to travel. It's going to be good. No big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I can't even do that with the dog.
Right, exactly. So it's a learning curve, but everything's going good. I think we're about almost to 2.5 months now, which is good age. She'll be going back to work in a couple of weeks. She's a nurse in the United States Navy, stationed out in Naples, Italy. So I just actually texted her a picture of Tom's little sheet here with the QR code of how cool that is, and get some feedback from her on that, because it's really, really, really fabulous. Really fabulous service.
Yeah,
it's
great. I just love it. So we have some questions from our that have been sent in from our listeners.
Oh, excellent, excellent. What do we got?
And one is, she said I was recently talking to one of my neighbors, and I told him I have all my papers in order. And they told her that in 2015, the power of attorney laws changed in Florida.
Okay.
Did that happen, and does she need to go and have her because of that?
Yeah.
She said everything else stays the same. Nothing
else
changed.
So this is a really actually great question that kind of opens the doors into a couple of different issues. In 2011, on October 1st, 2011, the power of attorney statute in Florida was rewritten. It needed to be rewritten. There was a lot of kind of problems with the old statute, and not the least of which the old statute had a sample power of attorney in it. And you would think, that's great, cool, sample power attorney. Well, not so great, because what lawyers would do is they would copy that sample power of attorney out of the statute book, put it into their computer, and then make that their power of attorney. And so there's gobs and gobs, that's a technical term, lots and lots of them out there that are wrong. And they don't have the right words or provisions in it that can that allow your backup person to do what they need to do. It was a horrible, horrible problem for us, actually. So this legislature,
but a good problem in the end, because it was better for people, right?
Well, no, the problem with having this sample is that they would get a document from their lawyer that they thought was going to do what needed to be done.
And it didn't.
And it did not.
So it's good that they changed it.
Yeah, it's good that they changed it. Yes, I apologize. Yes, it's a very good thing that they changed it. They pulled that sample document out, which was creating so many problems. But they did add some new requirements, and one of them's a little tricky. Any power of attorney done after October 1st, 2011 has to have 7 particular powers or authorities initialed by the person signing the document. So if it's your power of attorney, Linda, and it's done after October 1st, 2011, there's these 7 what we call superpowers that you have to physically initial the paragraph. Otherwise, that power is not granted to your person. And one of those powers is the ability to create a trust, which in my world of Medicaid and planning and public benefits is important. A huge issue.
Yeah.
And I may need the daughter, for example, to create a trust for mom, because mom's incapacitated and lost her mind, so to speak, you know, cognitively impaired. So I'm looking at you to sign this document for mom. Well, your power of attorney has to say that you can do it. And if it doesn't say you can do it, you cannot do it. And so here's this provision that says that if you can have the power to create a trust, it has to be initialed. So think about this. There's the power. There it is. There are the words on the paper. Everything's cool.
But
I love
initialed.
The document. It's not initialed. So now I'm screwed. We're kind of screwed, and that now our work has just got much more exponentially harder. We now are going to have to go to the guardianship court, open up a guardianship, jump through all those hoops, hire those lawyers, delay in time, and it can cost tens and tens of thousands of dollars because that stupid thing wasn't initialed. Okay, so when she talks about a change in the law, I don't know of any change in 2015, but there was a major change in 2011. Does that mean you need to redo your power of attorney? Technically, if it was done before October 1st, 2011, you do not have to do it. But my guidance to my clients is it's a good idea that you redo it. Because that's kind of the new format that everybody's used to now.
And it's not a big deal to redo it.
It's not. It takes 30 minutes. It's not a big deal. In and out. It's not hard. The other problem, though, remember I said it opened up some other doors, is if you have a power of attorney from 2015, they don't age well, these documents. They tend to lose effectiveness over time. We talk about powers of attorney like a loaf of bread or a carton of milk. It has a best if used by date.
Yeah.
And if too much time goes by since you signed that document, you can get pushback and reluctance on the bank or the broker or whoever to actually follow the instructions of the power of attorney person. So the rule of thumb, the best practice is that you should update your power of attorney document, re-execute it, a new one, every 5 years.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, too, because sometimes people are just not thinking, and the person that they have as power of attorney cannot be a
Well, there's that too. Yes, of course.
You know,
literally every day.
My sister's my power of attorney, and you know I'm 75 and she's 82. You know.
I had a husband and wife in my office yesterday.
And they don't think about it.
That happens every day in my office. A husband and wife are in my office. He had just been diagnosed with Parkinson's. So he's kind of on the Parkinson's train, so to speak. And we're reviewing their documents. And the power attorneys that they had were from a different state, which is a bad thing, in my opinion. And we're old. So we were going to redo their documents. Excellent. So now it comes down to the question, well, who should be the wife's power of attorney? I got the husband, beginning stages of Parkinson's, diagnosis, treating, but starting to lose some just on the fringes of capacity. So the discussion is, and he's competent. I mean, here's the discussion with him. I'm like, dude, I didn't say dude, but in my brain I say that. Dude, you know, are you the best guy that should be the co-pilot and the power of attorney for your wife? And he reluctantly kind of said, no, I can see what you say. So we picked the daughter instead of him. So, as time goes by,
because I think sometimes people think, I just got these documents, they're done, I don't have to think about them anymore.
Not with the power of attorney. Every 5 years, you should redo it. Your will, your trust, those things are pretty stable, but not the power of attorney.
So what happens, like my dad, we had one, I think it's maybe 2019 18, and now he would have to, he's not competent enough to. So where do we stand there?
So just because it's older than 5 years does not mean that it's not any good.
Okay.
Okay, let's make that real clear. Yeah. There's no statute that says that it has to be newer than 5 years. That's not the law.
Okay.
It's a best practice. So if you show up with a six-year-old power of attorney, is that going to be okay? More than likely.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I have to give a date certain for my clients to know that they, so they don't show up 10 or 15 years later.
Right.
Because that's not okay.
Yeah.
So and there's a little bit of squishiness on that time.
Yeah.
So I say 5 years is the best. But if it's six or seven, or if you can't redo it, well, you got to go and run with what you got.
Yeah.
And it'll be okay most of the time. But for redoing it, you're saying
be prepared.
It's just a really good idea.
One thing off your head. You don't have to think about it anymore.
Yeah, and you know, I am not making my retirement on doing powers of attorney every 5 years for my clients. So this is not a thing for me.
Right.
This
is
taking care of my clients and making sure that they don't have problems in the future.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The next question: can my loved one sign legal documents even with dementia?
Well, that's a great question, too. God, today's got some good ones. Well, dementia. First of all, let's talk, what is dementia? Dementia is a symptom. It's like a runny nose, in a sense. It's caused by some disease process. But it's a symptom, and it is a symptom with wild variation. You can have a little dementia. And you can have a lot of dementia. Early stage, that's for this guy, early stages in his Parkinson's, he just had a little bit of cognitive dissonance issues. It's going to get worse over time. He's perfectly fine right now.
Right.
I have clients that have dementia that are capable and still competent, even though they have dementia, and they can sign documents, they can sign a power of attorney. They're not perfect, but they're good enough. At some point in time, you're not good enough. So my metaphor for dementia is this. Dementia and competency, it's like a train. Each train has a car on it. And until that last car goes around the bend, you have capacity. But with dementia, you're losing cars. Mm-hmm. And eventually, that it will go around.
It's a good analogy.
So get her done beforehand.
Well, because. Besides the person that sent that in that question, somebody said in one of the support groups the other day, and I was taken aback a little bit, and she was like, well, my mother could give me the finger today, so she knows who I am. and something else, you know, but
we're still good.
She can't hardly do anything else. And I'm like, I don't know. Does that count? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, they can't tell me that she doesn't know that I'm her daughter and I'm going to take care of her because she gave me the finger and she did something else. You know.
And this is in my practice what I do. You know, I've been doing this for 33 years now, and we've done, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of powers of attorney. And the issue often is presented is, does this person have enough capacity to sign this document?
Right.
Okay. If they don't have capacity, they can't sign it.
Right.
But now you're dealing with dementia, which is, again, the squishy kind of gray area thing. And it can even be day to day or, you know, we've talked
could
about that sundowners.
They're
really good in the morning. Don't talk to him until he's had his lunch.
Right.
I mean, there's all of these factors that can impact their capacity. And they can have moments of clarity and moments of not so clarity. So it's real squishy as to whether or not you can sign a document if you have dementia. Dementia is not a bar. It's in other words, it doesn't stop you from being able to do this.
Right.
But it could, depending on how far down the road you went.
So let's try to get our documents signed now.
Well, you know, we have kind of a joke in the office. It's like, you know, we'll take care of you and do your power of attorney document for free, no charge. What can I charge you a thing? We all love free stuff, right? There is one little catch. You have to come see me the day before you lose your mind.
Yeah.
And the point is, obviously, we never know.
Right.
I mean, you know, things happen, surprises happen, cerebral events happen, car accidents happen,
what happened
disease.
To you?
I got run over by a truck. I went from perfectly fine to not so fine really fast.
Yeah, tell that story, because I think our listeners need to hear that again. Yeah. So important.
But,
how is this going to happen to Sean?
Yeah, right, okay. Right. So let's just start that discussion with the statement, you never know when you're going to get hit by a truck, right? Say it all the time. Well, about 7 years ago, I was walking across the street in downtown St. Petersburg at about 11:30 in the morning on a Saturday.
Perfect time of day.
That's basically not much going on in St. Pete in that time. I had a little breakfast at one of my restaurants. I'm with some friends. We're just chatting, and I step out into the intersection. And you ever heard the saying that you should look both ways? Well, they are not kidding, because I did not look both ways, stepped out into the intersection, totally 100% my fault, not that that matters, and this big red plumbing truck, doing a good amount of speed, is coming through the intersection, and takes me out. Hits me.
Wow.
Okay. I jump, when I see him, I kind of jump up to get over the bumper and everything.
Yeah.
I clips my hip. I impact into the hood and into the windshield. Crushes the windshield in. I'm stuck in the windshield. He slams the brakes on. Ejects me out of the truck. I literally do a somersault in the air and land about a half a block away from where he hit me. Broken neck, broken back, 8 broken ribs, subdural hematoma, deep brain bleed, 2 skull fractures.
Wow. Okay, your paper's
bad.
In order.
It was bad. So, you know, I get to the hospital, I have a near-death experience, I go into a coma, I go over, I come back, that's a whole nother story.
that's another show.
Yeah, that's a really good story, by the way. So here I am out of commission about as much as you can be. I can't get out of bed, I'm in neurointensive care, in a coma. My brother actually had to use my healthcare surrogate, which is like a power of attorney for medical decisions, to make the decision with the neurosurgeon whether I was going to live or die. Because I'm in this coma, I have this deep brain bleed. The question is well, how much brain damage has been done? And we don't know if we're going to get Sean back or not. What do you want me to do?
To his brother.
And so, again, the joke is we think he made the right decision. So. So he said go, and we do all of the stuff. 3 months in neurointensive care, rehab, had to learn how to walk again. Didn't get back for 6 months. I was offline. 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think no brain damage. I think that so far.
You do have a screw loose, though, don't you?
Yeah. Have a screw loose.
Wasn't it before, probably?
No. So when they put my head back together, which they literally did,
okay,
they tacked it with all these screws in my forehead. So this whole forehead was taken off and had to be put back on. And I go to see my neurosurgeon afterwards and everything, and he says, well, Sean, you have any questions? And I'm like, no, I'm processing this by not processing this.
Yeah.
He says, but are you sure you don't have any questions? I'm like, yeah, doc. What's this little bump right here on my forehead? You know, it wasn't there before the accident. He looks at it, he feels it, he looks at me, and he goes, well, Sean, you got a loose screw. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
Dude, you had one job, right?
Now you really know somebody that has a screw loose.
Yes.
So he sees my face, and he goes, well, you know, I can fix it. And I'm like, oh, no, are you kidding?
Yeah.
You know how much mileage I'm going to get out of this story?
Yeah.
When I have to tell my clients that their lawyer has a screw loose?
Yeah,
that is great.
That's
good.
At least they laugh, and they feel a little more comfortable.
It's good. But that is a true story. It is a true story.
Yeah.
So on this whole power of attorney healthcare surrogate thing, which are kind of hand in hand, I do like to tell my clients that when I do their documents, these have been product tested.
So, yes.
By me.
By you.
So yes. I know they work.
Yeah, that's good to know. All right, next question.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
How do I avoid probate?
Good question. This is the one I answer literally every day. Let's start out with saying it. Sometimes you might not want to avoid probate.
Okay.
It does have some pluses to it. It can, in some cases, be a more economic solution to the problem. What is the problem? The problem is moving your stuff to your heirs after you're dead. That's called estate planning. There's several different ways of doing that, solving that situation. The classic is for you to leave us a note. That note's a will. And that says, hey, I want this person to be in charge, and I want my stuff to go to these people. That note has to be processed by the court. Requires a lawyer, so probate's going to be involved. And in essence, your lawyer is going to take about 3% of your stuff. That's not exact, but it's a good, it's close enough. Yeah. So the more stuff you have, the more expensive probate becomes. But it's also cost money to put a trust in place, which is the alternative to a will. It's called a trust. And that allows you to move your stuff to your heirs without having to go through the court system. And you can avoid that 3% kind of charge from the lawyer. And it's much more efficient in some ways, and it's much more cost effective most of the time. A third way that people will do it is they'll use some sort of beneficiary designation or joint ownership on an account or a piece of property. So what this is it says, well, when I die, it's your stuff, and it's built into the title or to the ownership of that property. For example, a bank account. I have a money market account. There's $10,000 in that account. My name is on it. When I die, nobody would own it. But I've gone to the bank and I've said, hey, listen, let me designate a beneficiary on this that says that Clayton gets this money when I'm dead.
Right.
So you can do that. That if you have a simple estate, one or two heirs, one or two assets, that's not a bad solution necessarily. Not perfect, but economic to put in place. The more complicated your situation becomes, the more assets that you have and the more different beneficiaries you have, that kind of beneficiary designation thing starts to break down and you should be looking at a trust. So here's an answer to a question you didn't ask. Should I have a will or should I have a trust? Good question. Get this asked a lot. Here's a simple answer. If the total amount of the stuff that you own, not counting your house, not counting your car, not counting your IRAs, is over $100,000, you should have a trust. If the total amount of your stuff, not counting those stuff things, is below $100,000, a will or a will in combination with a beneficiary designation will be a better solution for you. So it's kind of that 100,000 tipping point. Why is that the number? Because when I do a trust package for a client, I'm going to charge them about $3,000 to solve that problem. Okay, well, if you have $100,000 going through probate, I'm charging you $3,000 to take that through probate.
Right.
So it kind of balances at that number. Below 100, go with a will. Above 100, go with a trust.
Okay.
How about that for a simple lawyer answer?
Yeah.
Don't get those very often.
Yeah, because sometimes things get so complicated. People aren't, they're not even sure. Did you have something you wanted to ask Sean?
I did.
Talking before the show.
I did, if you don't mind.
Is that okay? Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So my dad is the license for art in court is getting, he's getting a little too intense of his need.
Correct.
So now we're going and looking at skilled nursing.
Yep, transitioning. I understand. Yes, yes.
Which increases the amount.
Doubles it.
Right?
Yes.
So we're trying to figure out the best way to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just talking to them today, and they mentioned reaching out to an elder lawyer to see what I need to do with his money and with his... he gets another benefit all these questions that I need answered. But that's where, and they mentioned Medicaid, him going on Medicaid.
100%. Yeah. So you are a prime example of my stereotypical client.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We're transitioning from assisted living into long-term care in a nursing setting. Our costs are going to double. If we weren't in negative cash flow at this moment right now at Arden Courts, you are about to be in significant negative cash flow. You need to be able to fix that problem. That solution to that problem is more than likely going to be Medicaid. And my job is to sit down with you, look at kind of do an analysis of what your financial situation is, look at what your incomes are, look at what your assets are, and then guide you through the process of getting you into a position to be eligible for Medicaid benefits, while at the same time protecting 100% of Dad's assets.
Right.
And so that when he goes to the nursing home, the worst case scenario financially that he'll have is that it'll cost him what his income is. It may be cheaper for him to be in a nursing home than it is for him to be in Arden Courts when you factor Medicaid in.
Medicaid in, yes.
Which is kind of a mind blower.
Which I was like, whoa, wait, yeah, what?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you need to see me.
Sean.
Right, you do.
Or somebody almost as good as me.
Yeah.
No, in all seriousness. That's my job. And that's the role I play. So that you need to interface with that solution provider.
Yeah.
And the time to do that is right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
So. Okay, it's time to hear from our wonderful partners. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Excellent.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Yes, the Footbar Walker. We love them. So, Sean, where can our listeners find you?
Well, you know, we have a physical office here in the middle of Pinellas County, technically in Largo. So you can reach us at 727-539-0181. You can also find us on the web, a very simple web address, flmedicaid.com, FL for Florida, Medicaid.com. And that has all of our contact information on there. on there. A really cool thing that's on the website is you can download my book. It's about a 150-page book all about Medicaid and long-term care. You can download it for free. You can buy it on Amazon, too, if you want, but download it for free. It's a lot better. It's a great kind of seminar and a book almost about how Medicaid works. Yeah, so it works really well. And then we take care of people all across the state of Florida, whether it's from Pensacola to Key West. We have clients across the entire state of Florida. And we do it virtually if necessary with Zoom and video conferencing. I do have clients that I've never physically met, many of them, but that we've solved and fixed their problems. So
it was very interesting when I was at the seminar the other day. A woman never met me physically, only on Zoom.
Right.
She goes, "Damn, you're tall."
You know, I'm 6'6", all right? So so they say the same thing to me. I was like, I'm a lot taller than I look in my pictures.
I'm all legs when I sit, I'm short, you know? They go, "Damn, you're tall."
Exactly.
Yes, I am. So I want to talk to you a little bit about some things I've been thinking about and some projects I'm going to work on, and it's called solo aging. So I'm finding that a lot of my caregivers, their loved one passes, and they haven't taken care of anything for themselves. They've been spending all this time taking care of everything for their loved one. They may not have their own documents in order. They may not even have thought about
what's going to happen to them.
Yep. Right?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
They have a issue with, like, tonight a whole bunch of us are going to a yard concert, and like six of them are caregivers from my support group, so their loved ones have passed away.
Right.
So I want to create a meetup, and I think I'm going to create up a Zoom support group where the meetup will be probably for social things to do. But the support group would be, I would bring in different speakers to the Zoom support group about things that these solo aging people need to know about. And then we might have some support groups where you can just call and complain or bitch about whatever you need to do, which is very important. You know, it's like, I brought this up in my support group yesterday, because many of the people in this one particular group, the other one has passed. And the one woman said, she said, "Yeah, I just really want to complain." And she said, "But I don't want to say anything to my daughter and her husband. They'll be worried about me then. They'll think something's wrong."
Complaining is very therapeutic.
Yeah, she said, "But it can be very helpful. All stinks after my husband passed away, you know? And it stinks that I can't drive anymore and whatever." So, you know, it's always, she knows us because we've been together for a long time. But so I'll keep you apprised as things go on, but it's something new that I'm going to be working on because I think it will help a lot of people. Thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in this week. I always appreciate you. Come again next week. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.